Good afternoon. I would like to ask you to put yourself in a situation for me. Let's imagine that you're at home tonight. You're enjoying the last moments of your Sabbath. Maybe you're sitting in your most comfortable chair. You're calm. You're relaxed. And then your phone rings. You pick it up. You recognize the voice on the other end. It's a familiar voice, but this time it's a little bit more serious. The voice says, "I have some news to tell you, and it's not really that easy. It's a little hard." So you take a few deep breaths, you collect yourself, and then you say, "Okay, I'm ready to hear this." And the voice says, "You have less than 1 week to live. You have promised a friend that you would die for them, and they are taking you up on that promise. You have 6 days. What would you do? How would you react to this? What are the things that you would really want to take care of? What are the things that really matter in life?" Well, if we were to travel back in time to the time of Jesus Christ, we would find that at this point, he had just 6 days to live. He didn't receive a phone call telling him this. No, this was something that he knew all along. This was planned from the very beginning. In fact, this was his very purpose for living a human life. He knew that in less than 1 week, he'd be having dinner with his disciples, his friends, that he would be betrayed, and that he would have to die an absolutely horrible death. And he did this all willingly. We are just under one week away from the Passover. In 1 Corinthians 11, it tells us that we need to examine ourselves so we can be worthy to take the Passover. Today, I'd like to take a look at a few examples from Christ's final week before he was crucified and hopefully plant a few seeds of thought that you can come back to throughout this next week as we prepare for the Passover. Maybe it's every time you see that calendar, whether it's in your office or in your home, that you just think, what was Christ going through at this time? And hopefully it can help get us in the right frame of mind. So let's look at a few examples. Let's see how he handled some situations, what was going on in his mind. Let's just see if, you know, what it was like knowing that this was your last life, experiencing life as a human. And finally, kind of what does this mean for us? So the first example, let's turn to Matthew 21, and we'll look at Jesus triumphantly riding into Jerusalem. Matthew 21, starting in verse 1, it says here, "And when they drew near unto Jerusalem, and they had come to Bethlehem unto the Mount of Olives, and sent Jesus 2 disciples, saying unto them, Go to the village against you, and straightway you shall find a donkey tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say unto you, you shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, the king comes unto thee, meek, and sitting upon a donkey, and the colt of a foal of a donkey. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and they brought him the donkey and the colt, and they put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And then multitudes that were before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." How exciting. How triumphant is this? Fulfilling prophecy. But at the same time, how humbling. You know, he isn't coming in on this glorious stallion returning from battle victorious. He's coming in on a donkey. And it's even more humbling when you think, what is really going on in his mind as he sees all these people praising him, knowing that he will be dying in a short time to give them life? What is he thinking as he looks into their eyes and he sees their faces so filled with joy? And then if he looks up and he sees the city of Jerusalem as he approaches it, what memories did that bring back to him? Did he think back to his first trip there as a small child for the feast? or his time that he spent in the temple? What goes through your mind when you come home? How do you enter a city? I know it wasn't all too long ago that I just moved out here, but I distinctly remember what it was like. I remember coming down Snoqualmie Pass. I remember the sunset. I remember crossing over Lake Washington and seeing it sparkle. I remember the music that was playing as I drove into Seattle. It's the same way when I look at other places, like if I go home or other significant places in my life that I've lived. I think it's probably similar for some of you as well. And I think it probably wouldn't be too far of a stretch to say that Christ probably was replaying some memories in his head at this point as well. Well, if we look over at Luke's account in Luke 19, we'll see that he kind of does look at this a little bit. In Luke 19, in chapter 41, or Luke 19 and verse 41, we'll see his response. Luke 19, verse 41, it says, "And when he had come near, he beheld the city, Jerusalem, and he wept over it. He wept over it, saying, If you hast only known, even you, at least in this day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from your eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and encompass thee round and keep thee on every side and shall lay thee down even to the ground and the children with thee, and they shall not leave a stone unturned because you knewest not the time of thy visitation." Look at the emotion here. He wept. It wasn't, he knew he loved these people. He was weeping because he loved them and he knew what was going to happen to them. He knew that that city was going to be destroyed. He knew this before, but at this point, in this context, as he's riding in that final week, seeing those faces as those people lay down those palms for him to ride over, how much more real was his emotion? You know, there's a real outward focus here. He's looking to those people. I think I was doing pretty good if people were laying out all their clothes and palms for me to ride in, but he was looking outwardly. He was looking to those people. He was weeping for them. This shows that love. It also shows that Christ was a real person. He had real emotion, and this was not an easy week. What happened after that? What did he do? The first thing he did was he went to the temple. So if we turn back to Matthew 21, we'll pick it back up in verse number 12. Matthew 21 in verse 12. It says, "And Jesus went to the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple. And he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold the doves. And he said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them." Now, I think there's a couple things that are very interesting about this passage. The first thing is the only animal mentioned here is the doves. The doves are actually the very lowest of the sacrifices. This was the sacrifice that only the poor could afford. It just really goes to show how dirty and how greedy these people were. They were trying to make a profit. But what did Christ do? He was taking care of business. He didn't just politely walk up to these guys and say, "Hey, you know, if you could just move over here, maybe sell those somewhere else, that'd be nice." No, that wasn't what he did. He knew his time was short. He knew he had to take care of business. He threw them out. He knocked their tables over and he said, "Get out." He saw the sin and he immediately got it out of the temple. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, it says, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." So we are a temple. We need to make sure as we examine our lives and ourselves this week that we don't find any money changers or tables in our temple that need to be overthrown. But if we do, we need to follow Christ's example here. We need to see the sin and we need to get rid of it immediately. I think it's also interesting to note that what he did immediately after that It says that the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. He starts giving back immediately to those people. It wasn't about him. He was giving back to that. It shows that love. Now, there are many other examples that we could look at from this perspective of it being Christ's last week, things we could ponder, and I really encourage you to do so in this upcoming week. Just for example, what would it be like for Christ to see somebody sinning? What would be going through his mind at that point? Or when Mary was anointing him, when he was washing the disciples' feet, or maybe just the simple everyday aspect of waking up and smelling that fresh morning air. How much more did he savor these things, knowing what was coming? There's a very good book I once read called Man's Search for Meaning. It's written by Viktor Frankl. He's a Jewish psychologist who survived Auschwitz, and he wrote a book about his experiences and has many interesting points, and one of them was that we give our suffering meaning by the way in which we respond to it. We give our suffering meaning by the way which we respond to it. We have these examples of how Christ responded. We can see what he did in his final week, and we know the reason why he did it. He died, and he died for us. He died that you and I might live. That is the meaning of his death. That is how deep his love is for us. We have a responsibility because of that. We have to respond properly to his death, to his suffering, in order to give it that proper meaning and respect. If we don't, we will be taking away from it. So, brethren, we have less than 1 week. By examining Christ's final days, we will not only have a greater understanding of how Christ responded to these events, but by taking the time to think on these things, we can better realize the weight of these things and not take that death for granted, and in turn, we'll be bringing more meaning to it. So this next week, look at your calendar. Ask yourself, what was Christ doing on these days leading up to the Passover? Take some time to think on these things so we can be worthy to take the Passover, because after all, we have less than 1 week.